The CEO Roundtable brings together operations professionals at the top of their game to define and explore what it means to be highly effective in a scale-up organization. And what sits at the heart of it is highly curated peer-to-peer roundtables where COOs talk about things that matter.
I absolutely love my roundtable. We've been together for about 2 years, and without exaggeration, I have made friends for life.
To find out more, go to COOroundtable.com. That's COOroundtable.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Operations Room, a podcast for COOs. I am Brandon Minsinga, joined by my lovely co-host, Bethany Ayers. How are things going, Bethany?
They're okay, Brandon. I thought I'd give a bit of an update on my eating, because, you know, everybody wants to know about Zoe. So I thought I'd carry on what's been happening post-Zoe.
Part 500.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. Zoe.
So this one is, I stopped with the subscription because there was no point. And I just know I need to eat as many vegetables as I can. So I ended up with a subscription to Oddbox. Do you know Oddbox?
I do, actually. Yeah. I like their little shtick.
Do you also have a subscription?
I don't, but I somehow liked the idea. It was appealing to me, but I didn't do a subscription.
For anyone who doesn't know, Oddbox is one of these vegetable subscriptions, but it's supposed to be abandoned fruits and vegetables. There's either too many, they don't look quite right, they're too small, they're too big, whatever. Mostly they look fine. We had some avocados a couple of weeks ago that looked a bit like passion fruits. And my husband was not convinced and he refused to eat the avocados, but they were fine. They were just like little mini avocados. And I'm trying to eat the rainbow, as everybody suggests. So, you know, all of the colors, because every color has different vitamins and it also makes it a little more interesting. So this week I open up my Oddbox and it is parsnips, cauliflower, and you know what I feel about cauliflower, not my favorite, chestnut mushrooms.
So Oddbox is, you can't specify what you want. It's just a randomized set of vegetables that show up on your doorstep every week.
Yeah. You can say no to up to 3 things a week, but I don't always remember. And then you don't know what you're going to get substituted with.
Yeah. Something even worse.
Well, pretty much, because it doesn't get much worse than cauliflower as far as I'm concerned. And so I'm currently roasting my vegetables for the week. And instead of eating the rainbow, I'll be eating white and brown. I am thoroughly uninspired for this week.
Okay. All right. So the Oddbox is happening. That's part of your program. You're into that.
I am. Well, so basically every week I roast vegetables and then eat vegetables for lunch, like vegetables with tahini or with beans, or slightly embarrassing and a bit of a throwback, but I'm really into tuna at the moment, like tin tuna.
Tin tuna has a throwback flavor to my early 20s.
Exactly. Like I'm just having a bit of a nostalgia moment, but yeah, I'm not sure how tin tuna and roasted cauliflower are going to mix, but I'll let you know.
So the Zoe subscription is off. You know what to eat. So now you're doing it independently of the Zoe subscription.
I am. And I'm really looking forward to the summer when there's something more exciting than parsnips and cauliflower on the agenda. There was a lot of aubergine for a while as well. And I don't know if I could look at another aubergine for a while.
So today we have a phenomenal topic, which is, which HRIS do I choose? We have an amazing guest for this, which is Matt Bradburn. He is the founder and CEO of The People Collective. So before we get to that, Bethany, I think you are going to set me up here.
I am. Trying something new today.
Thrilling. We're reversing seats here.
Yeah. And we're talking about HRISs, or as you'll notice that Matt calls them, HRISs, which I thought was like,
Is that what he said? Yeah. I didn't get that.
An HRIS. And so we're not the cool kids. We are not in the know. It's an HRIS. It's basically like a CRM, but for your HR. Brandon, I know you've done a bit more research than I have, because I basically tried to do this research and got so frustrated, I gave up. And there just didn't seem to be anything great on the market. If we're a 100-person company, scale up, needing to upgrade from whatever it is that we're using to a slightly more grown-up HRIS or HRIS, what are our options? I'm going to start with the one that I'm most excited about, Rippling.
So my experience with Rippling is a very utilitarian user experience and very much connected back-end-wise with finance and operations. My first experience with Rippling was actually the drop-down menu for HR management. So this is on the main page on the dashboard. You basically have a drop-down, and that drop-down has 4,000 options. And these are all the options you'd want to have as part of your HRIS in this case, but they just have a ton of them for some reason. And in that list, I don't even know why this was the case, but anniversary specifically makes their top drawer drop-down list. And I was just like, why is that the case? I was looking at it from an employee experience point of view, and their performance review module that they have, I would say, is not particularly great. Again, it does the utilitarian functional basics that you need to have for performance reviews. But if you compare it versus the HiBob and the Bamboos of the world, just not nearly as functional in that respect. Right. The other part of it was, at least from a modularity standpoint, pricing-wise, they had good modularity. So you could actually buy independently modules for performance management, learning management, headcount planning and comp bands, Pulse, which is like the surveys, and ATS for the recruitment part of it. The last little bit of my experience with Rippling was their sales process. So when you engage them from a sales point of view, what's your experience dealing with them? And I will say this, the rep that I dealt with, very experienced, and he was heavy on qualifying me, and he qualified me to the point where I didn't make it to the next step. He did send me their sales enablement component after the call, and it felt like a DD room. Any question you could possibly have about the Rippling solution in this, what I call a DD room, they had everything that was sitting there, which was very good because it was very simple. Here's the link, here's all the assets, and these weren't promotional assets, they were assets around the product that I was buying.
Do you know the background of Rippling at all?
I do not, actually.
So it's basically founded by the Zenefits guy. And so they did Zenefits, was a huge success until it was a huge failure, wound down Zenefits or whatever's happened to it. I think it exists in some sort of guise at this point. And then he went, it was like, know everything that we did wrong with Zenefits, know the space really well, and raised a $250 million seed round.
Wow. Seed round.
And then hired back everybody who was good from Zenefits with everything that they'd learned, and then just built Rippling. So although they're not a very old company, they're a very experienced company.
I see. So in that sense, the product should be fantastic then.
Which is why I was so excited to see it. And I was also qualified out. It was at a point where they weren't selling to Europe yet, and they just wouldn't even let me see a demo. So that's Rippling. Are we going to give it a score out of 5?
I think the utilitarian nature of it did not appeal to me. If I was really concerned about finance and operations in the back end of it, I'm sure I'd be super excited by Rippling, but I'm not particularly. So in this case, I'll give it a 3.
I was hoping it was going to save the HRS world, but maybe not. So, HiBob, not to be confused with Charlie HR, because for whatever reason, we just need to add people's names to
Bob and Charlie.
Charlie, yeah.
And actually the benefits provider in UK, Ben, have you heard of Ben?
Oh, no, but at least that's benefits. But again, like another male name.
HiBob is a good product. In particular, the talent module has performance reviews, goals and check-ins, one-to-ones. And it, by far, out of all the vendors that I reviewed, they definitely have the most mature talent module of all of them. So if you're truly looking for employee experience as part of your HRIS, hands down, HiBob is the right answer for that. They also had uniquely a really interesting feature for workforce planning. I do a tremendous amount of scenario planning with headcount. You're like, what does that picture look based on revenue A? What does that picture look like based on revenue B? So the fact that they actually had this scenario planning headcount feature, I've never seen that before. It was definitely not a part of the other HRISs.
Oh, that's really interesting. So there's a tool called OrgView for really big companies. I'm not sure if you've ever come across it. By a company whose name I can never remember. It's like Conversica, I can't remember, Con something, but it's OrgView. And it's a great tool, but they'll only sell it to enterprises. So I'm wondering if HiBob, because I've not seen it, is doing something. So like, is it easy org charts and actually like a visualization tool to do the different scenarios?
Yeah, exactly. So there's a visualization component to it. When I went through the qualifying process, I asked them if I could actually purchase that module. And what she said to me was that it's only available for customers that are 200 plus employees. So to your point, it's geared towards bigger scale enterprise companies.
So when I was looking at HRSs, I don't know why I didn't look seriously at HiBob. It wasn't getting great reviews at that point. That was probably two and a half years ago. when was the last time you looked at it, and has there been improvements?
My evaluation was done in the past 3 months. So this is a very recent assessment. I think there's a reason why right now, at least in Europe, HiBob is kind of eating up the marketplace, which they are. I think that they just have built-in momentum around having a good product that is really targeted towards, that leans towards the employee experience. And I think there's a real spot for that right now. The other thing to mention is, again, modularity is really quite strong in the sense of they've got the HRIS for price A, they've got the talent and performance module, time and attendance, compensation with Mercer benchmarking as a bit of an add-on to that compensation, the payroll hub, your voice, which in this case is the ability for employees to express themselves, whether it's in survey form or otherwise. And pricing-wise, which I did get from HiBob, if you're a 100-person company and you want the HRIS plus performance plus talent, the ATS part of it, that product is £18,000.
For 100 people.
For 100 people. So this is at the top end. I didn't get the Rippling number, but at least for the other competitors, this was the most expensive product that was out there. And the other little bit on the sales engagement experience part of it was the sales rep that I dealt with, very fast, but very transactional. Here's the price, here's the demo, do you want to buy it? That kind of scenario. So it wasn't the best, wasn't the worst, but yeah.
But they're just trying to eat up the market, aren't they? So like, it's all about high volume sales.
I suspect so.
So out of 5?
I want to give them a 4.5, but I can't. I'll give them a 4 just because I'm a stickler.
So the next one is Bamboo HR. We were Bamboo users. I have a lot of opinions on Bamboo, but I will hold them back. So Brandon, your views
interesting.
Of Bamboo HR.
I can't wait for this. So on the performance module side, very basic one-to-ones, very basic for check-ins, and very basic for the actual performance module itself. I would say the ATS was also very basic. So when it comes to that employee experience and a bit of the ATS, not particularly great, I would say, on that side of things. The other part that I felt with Bamboo was it really felt like a legacy product where it does the basics really well, but doesn't really do a lot beyond that. And the other little piece of this for European customers was that the only modules they sell for European customers is the HRIS itself and performance. All the other modules are not available for European customers. So that's obviously another issue. And I think the rep in this case was trying to sell me on the fact that there was integrations for all the other stuff that I might be looking for in this case. And then purely from a commercial standpoint, this came in the second most expensive product, which was not 18K, but 16K. And the 16K includes, in their case, they charge for an implementation fee of 2K. So that 2K is part of the 16K, if that makes sense. So year one is a 16K total.
And year two is 14.
Exactly. Yeah. And then interestingly, 3 weeks later, I got an email saying that there was a discount out of nowhere for 13K. I was like, oh, lovely. I didn't have to negotiate at all, and I've already received a discount. Fabulous. And then the other part of Bamboo, and I'll give them some credit for this, which is they know how to sell. They had by far the best sales engagement experience out of all of them, hands down. It was really professional, really crisp, and the sequencing that I went through was tremendous. Just a great experience from a sales point of view.
So I was not part of selecting Bamboo HR. It was already in place when I joined. I just didn't like anything about it. So super basic. The reporting was awful. You couldn't create your own custom fields. You had to ask the customer success team, and they're based in California. So it was like a 24 to 48 hour delay every time you wanted a custom field, which just goes to my hypothesis around the fact that CSM teams are just papering over the cracks of product issues. Like, what kind of tech debt are they dealing with that they can't figure out how to let customers create their own custom fields? And then also like the drop-down menus, you'd have all these issues. So for exit interviews or reasons for exiting, you either couldn't change the ones or you could add to it, but you couldn't remove any of theirs. And some of their exit reasons were just bizarre. Oh, like did not like it, found it really frustrating, found the customer success not particularly helpful or the customer experience not helpful. We tried to use it to track our one-to-ones. And then there was like this little pink button that would arrive. And if the little pink button happened, this little circle, it would be recorded in the reports. But sometimes the little pink circle would happen and sometimes it wouldn't. And so I had all these direct reports and I would know I've done a one-to-one and there would be no pink circle and it wouldn't count. And another one would, and nobody could figure out why the pink circle happened or didn't happen.
That sounds immensely frustrating.
So frustrating. So Bamboo HR out of 5?
2, I would say. I mean, just the tech debt thing. I'm making vast assumptions here, but like just what you said rings true in the sense of if they don't have a fully featured modular product available for Europe right now, given how long they've been on the marketplace, that tells you something about their situation.
I suspect they have a churn issue and they're dealing with, you know, Rippling and Hibob taking everything from them. Although maybe Personio, our next one in line. They're German, right?
Yes. So Personio is the new kid on the block. I got the clear sense that their product development dial is cranked to 11. They are hyper-focused on fleshing out that product as fast as humanly possible. So they were kind of cranking out what I would consider to be like-for-like functionality of the basics and getting it out published as fast as they possibly can. So payroll, surveys, compensation, time tracking, etc. So they're really playing catch-up functionality-wise to Hibob and Bamboo in this case. Look and feel, very modern, very progressive. But they obviously will need to differentiate if they're going to be successful in the marketplace. I think what I found interesting philosophically was that Personio made it very clear to me that they believe HRISs are not meant for employees to do a daily check-in with, if that makes sense, whereas Hibob does. Because on Hibob, you've got things like kudos. So employees can give each other kudos or announcements from the company going through Hibob in this case. So there's an expectation that Hibob becomes a system whereby employees are expected to log into Hibob at some point on a weekly basis, daily basis, monthly basis, whatever. Whereas Personio doesn't believe that. And I think the rep characterized Hibob as the Instagram of HRISs. it was a good one-liner, I thought. And then on the performance module side, good functionality, supporting the expected elements, feedback cycles and goals and so on. They also had ability to track training, which was a bit of a nod to kind of development aspirations on the part of employees in this case. I thought it was quite nice. They have just released compensation and surveys as features. I can imagine they're probably pretty basic upon publishing them, and they're going to have to iterate quite a bit to get them up to speed a little bit. So I think the general mantra of Personio is that they want to be the all-in-one. They're the new kid on the block. They're pushing out as many features as they can, and they're going to have to work hard to get these things up to speed in terms of being competitive, I think, with Hibob and Bamboo and Rippling as well. Last little point commercially is that the product also has an implementation fee included for year one, $15,000, so just marginally less than Bamboo in this case. They have actually just recently introduced an accelerator program, which was applicable to the 100-person company scenario, and that accelerator program brought them in at the most inexpensive company, actually, in this case, which is $10,000. So $10,000 seemed like a fabulous price.
And so out of 5?
I feel like I want to like Personio. They're like the little train that could, you know, to try to crank stuff out. And the price is quite a good price in this case, being $10,000, I think. But in terms of the actual feature functionality experience, given the fact that they're quite far behind, as of literally today, let's say a 2.5, I think. If you have limited budget and you want an all-in-one, Personio is probably a reasonable bet to make.
You're betting on the fact that they're going to develop rapidly, have less tech debt, maybe listen to what's needed, but you get in at a nice low price that you won't have in a couple of years.
Yeah, lock it in. Do a 3-year lock-in. Hope for the best.
And then the final one is Factorial.
Yes, Factorial. So they are, again, also positioned as an all-in-one HRIS with all the modularity and features that we come to expect. Again, a very utilitarian functionality, kind of a clinical user experience to it. And I thought Personio and Hibob definitely provided a better user experience. And the other element here is that Factorial's position, like Rippling, which is they're much more interested in integration with finance and operations. And in particular, when it came to features around that space, they had features for expenses. They had features for SaaS app management or vendor management in this case, which obviously is much more finance related. They had a feature for space management for your office, if you can imagine. So there really was a heavy skew of Factorial really on the finance operations side and less so on the employee experience side of things. And speaking of that, the performance module was very basic, The goal module was very basic, the one-to-one module very basic, and the features were siloed from each other. Commercially, I thought Factorial actually was doing the most interesting things here, which is they actually had a free trial, which the others don't, where you can actually access the product independently of dealing with sales and interact with the product. They had super modularity. And with that modularity, they had absolute transparent pricing of what those modules were on the website. So you can very clearly see what you're buying and kind of package them together. So I thought that transparency on pricing was great. So I thought that felt very progressive to me, very modern. And as an HR buyer, that seemed very interesting and attractive to me.
Was it cheaper?
Yeah, exactly. So the last bit was relatively cheaper, coming in at $12,000 in this case. So on our little scale that we just talked about, it was the cheapest until Personio introduced this accelerator program at $10,000. So definitely on the lower end of things.
$12,000 is still a lot for a self-serve motion. So not a surprise you have to throw some people in during some of that. Like, it's a lot of money to commit to if you have some questions.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I think if you're above a certain threshold, they definitely did want to talk to you, if that makes sense. I think if you're below a certain threshold, it was more pure self-serve in terms of the motion, if you wanted it to be that way.
And so what would you give Factorial?
I think, again, because a little bit more on the finance ops side, less on the employee experience, and again, more this utilitarian thing happening, I'll probably throw them into the 2.5 bucket.
Right. So basically, HiBob is the clear winner at 4.
Yes, exactly.
Then we get Rippling, I think it's 3. And then we have Bamboo, Personio, and Factorial all kind of languishing together, except that Bamboo's going backwards and Personio and Factorial are going forwards.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the best way to think about it.
Thanks very much, Brandon. I wish I'd had you do all that research when we were last looking for an HRIS and we just gave up and stuck with Bamboo.
I think this is a fabulous chat, warming us up for our guest today, Mr. Matt Bradburn, because I think Matt Bradburn will give the skinny, the scoop, and the dirt.
And we're back. I am delighted to welcome Matt Bradburn to the podcast. Matt is an expert on the tech stack for HR teams. So let's get started with maybe my story, and then you can tell me what I should have done. So we had Bamboo HR. I hated it. I hated the fact that every time you wanted to add a new field, you had to ask the CSM to do it and wait 24 hours, which is insane to me. The analytics weren't great. Nothing was good. And so then it was like, okay, we need to find a new HRIS. So then we started looking, and they were all equally bad. And then there was Workday, which is super bloated. So which one is not equally bad? Which one is the right one for a scaling company, has a couple hundred employees?
I'm going to give my Bamboo feedback first, because quite frankly, one of the worst features I think I've ever seen on an HRIS is the performance module in Bamboo, where it says, it basically prescribes all the questions that you have to ask during your performance process. And then just says, you get to choose one. So if you don't like their questions, you're like, hold up, hang on, I'm trying to design like a great performance process. Maybe I want to change this over time. Maybe folks don't love this, or like the questions aren't giving me the right insights to be able to develop and grow. No. Doesn't matter. Bamboo decides. The overarching eye of Sauron from Bamboo says, no, these are the questions that you must ask. And that's incredibly infuriating. I'm all here for a bit of a walled garden, like something that makes your life easy, but I'm not here for something that's so prescriptive that you're like, this is like a fundamental piece of performance assessment, being able to choose what I'm assessing against, not just have me told that I have to assess against these things. So yes, I share your frustrations with Bamboo. It's very annoying.
So which one should we have gone for?
There's this perennial curve and wave that's been going on for well over a decade now between platform versus point solutions. Do we have a platform that does a little bit of everything? It's a jack of all trades. Do we want, you know, a half good platform, but with a bunch of point solutions? Do we just want something that's basically like a CRM for our people that just has their names, their holiday records, and then I don't have to worry about it and it just does the thing. And then I can tap other solutions as and when I need them. So yeah, what was your approach at the time? What were you like, I want X, Y, Z?
I want a CRM system for people that I can change and customize in the way that we use Salesforce.
Okay, so one I love for that is humans. So humans does a great job with this. And I'm not saying I had any influence in the product because I didn't, but I did know the two founders really well. I remember sitting in a cafe with two guys and they were like, what do you want from a system that you don't have at the moment? I was like, I just want an employee data layer that I can then manipulate and just have that data layer. And then I can go and do all the things I want to do, but just knowing that I can like look at this in like a spreadsheet style form where I can go and like compare, contrast, run my own analysis and other things will plug into it. Just easy API connections that work super well. And then I can plug in some performance software and it all just ties up nicely. And they were like, yes, that is what we're going to go and build. Making your life easy so that you're not spending your time doing the admin.
Perfect. So that's a nice recommendation. So maybe a broader recommendation. If you're a classic mid-market company, a couple hundred people, you want a good all-in-one solution. And in particular, you're more modern progressives. You really want that employee engagement side of it to have a bunch of tools there to really make that come alive for the company. And let's say you've just opened up your first office internationally. So you're UK based, but you've actually kind of landed in the US as an example. So there's different kind of international requirements as well. In that scenario, which I think is pretty traditional for a scale-up company, what are we looking at there?
I mean, typically you're going to say Rippling. Your options are pretty limited at the moment. As you say, like we've got this kind of weird scenario. We've got solutions right at the bottom. You're Charlie HRs, which I do love. Like I've always been a fan of Charlie HR. It's like the plucky little guy that just keeps on trucking and it does its thing and it does it really well. And actually, I always recommend like if you're super early stage, just buy Charlie HR because it's really simple and it does the thing super well. But then you get to that like mid-market point. That's where you've got your High Bobs, your Bamboo HRs, your Rippling to an extent, Personio, which is trying to play in that zone much more than it was doing previously. And those are the ones that I'm seeing most CPOs or COOs put in place if you're moving over to other places. And High Bob has clearly made a whole bunch of improvements. Like it's got some good bits and some bad bits. But do I love it? No. Do I love any of them? No. Would I? Am I having to choose the best of a bad bunch here? Yes. And if that's the case, then I'm probably going to be looking at High Bob as my number one because it will do most of the things I want it to do. It will do reasonable performance. I'm not going to use it for comp benchmarking. It will do all of your like employee records. The analysis has got a little bit better, but at least, you know, worst comes to worst, I can just download an Excel file and then go and do all the analysis I want, which is fine. And it's got reasonable API access and plugs into things fairly nicely. And of course, they've just bought Pento as well, which is going to make your payroll easier. So I think with the consolidation in the market, that's a nice little piece of consolidation from them. So I'd probably go down that route.
Okay, so that makes sense. And then how do you get to a love stage? So let's say you're using the best of a bad bunch. You've got High Bob. How do you add layers around High Bob to put into a scenario where I love my stack?
What we've seen instead is people be like, how do I reduce absolutely everything to the bare minimum? And it's led us to this really randomly quite interesting point in the HR market where you have, let's take something like a Lattice or a Deal. And what they're doing is they're like, cool, we will build an HRIS now. We're a performance tool, but we have to build an HRIS because that's how we get sticky with our customers. So Lattice is a great performance tool. Pando, also a great performance tool. I'd be plugging one of those in probably, or maybe Leapsome as well. Like any of those three do a good job. They all roughly do the same thing. Pando takes a slightly different approach, which I prefer around like leveling, progression, career advancement, but I'll come to that. Then I'd be looking at what ATS I needed, dependent on my hiring at that stage. I might look at employee engagement, but again, Bob will do that to a certain extent. I can probably say this now because I've left an employee engagement company. I'm going to say the thing that no one wants to say, which is employee engagement is absolutely a useful metric to look at. But the problem with employee engagement tools is they provide you with a dashboard. They do not provide your frontline managers with any of the useful ways to actually take the information from that dashboard and actually help improve the ways of working within your...
Oh, I like it. Revealing the underbelly of the employee engagement SaaS space.
I say this as someone that sat in an employee engagement company using the software and I loved it. And it was always our aim at Peakon to get to that next level, to get to like dashboard to actions. Like, how do we get to this point where we can help managers develop and grow? Because we know that they're the ones that have the biggest ability to influence employee engagement within the business. Like, the data is super clear on that. But actually being able to be like, how do we be prescriptive within these like really precise scenarios for so many people at so many different companies, from like Pret and EasyJet as two clients, right? Like, the needs of those two businesses in terms of what their managers are going to find useful is pretty diverse, right? Now, I can imagine now, if you're an employee engagement company like Peakon, you'd be applying AI and being able to use that much more effectively to actually then go move to the actions piece. But yes, the dirty little secret of employee engagement is it doesn't actually help you improve employee engagement.
It just helps you measure employee engagement.
It just helps you measure it. It doesn't help you improve it. And fundamentally, what's the freaking point? So yeah, I'd be using HiBob's employee engagement module. I might use CultureAmp if I've got some extra money that I just want to burn for fun, but I probably wouldn't.
And ATS are not, well, I mean, right now nobody's hiring, but let's assume people are hiring again. Which ATS would you go for?
So there is a pretext there, but I love Workable. Ashby's clearly come through as like, you know, a great alternative, and people are loving it. The new features that they put in there are really appreciated by so many folks in terms of like the AI workaround scheduling and what they're doing for ease of use for hiring managers. So a lot of folks are loving that. Pinpoint, again, like that's like another one I'm seeing coming through like a little bit more, and again, increasing in popularity. But if it were me going at a 200-person company, 100-person company, 300, somewhere in that range, I'm probably picking one of those three. I know there's Greenhouse, of course, which is very popular. But for me, I remember once comparing how many clicks it takes to put a job live on Workable versus Greenhouse. And for me, you know, when I talked about that walled garden at the beginning, I'm like, Workable's wonderful because it took me, I can't remember the exact numbers, but let's say for the sake of argument, it was somewhere in the teens. So let's say like 15 clicks to put a job live. Whereas Greenhouse took to the level I wanted it to with like 41 clicks to put a job live.
That's insane. Both are insane numbers. I thought you were going to say like 3 clicks and 10 clicks, but my assumption is Workday is super expensive.
Yes.
In terms of like ATSs, you're going to be going for a luxury.
Yeah. I'd go for one of those three ATSs. Like, it's a bit of a luxury. Like, Greenhouse is expensive. Lever used to be better, and they just haven't, you know, kind of taken the product that much further forward. Smart Recruiters is a reasonable option. Like, it's got good pricing levels around it and, you know, can be good for quite large distributed businesses. But, you know, fundamentally, I think that Ashby, Pinpoint, Workable selection is what the people would probably want to choose.
And they all cost the same? Are they broadly the same?
They're broadly the same, and it depends how nice they're feeling at any one time.
And how well you negotiate, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying nothing.
But tell me this then. Who, in your view, is impressing you in terms of product strides or really creating phenomenal experience in 2024 going forward? So you think about really good feature functionality, really good experiences. Who's impressing you right now in terms of progress?
There's three that are really impressing me. So Sana Labs. So what they're doing for L&D is just like quite phenomenal. Watching a live demo of the CEO create sales onboarding based off all of their Notion documentation in like a really beautiful multi-threaded learning approach, and then him like press the button and it all translates to Japanese, and you're like, of course, there are problems with it. Not everything works perfectly all of the time, but I was really impressed with the strides that they've made with that one. And I think that that will come to dominate the learning creation landscape in that one. I think what Pando are doing and their approach to performance development is a really good one. What I really love about that is how they take this idea, like when you work in people ops, often you'll get this quite siloed project and like pieces of work. And what they're doing is like connecting that whole like employee journey from onboarding through leveling and progression, like how people's careers grow, giving people like an opportunity to like see how their capabilities map out, closing perception gaps with managers, using visuals really well to show that it's not about like the performance management side. It's much more about the employee growth journey and how that all maps to compensation and things like that. So loving what they're doing. I think that that employee journey piece connected with a basic CRM, fundamentally for me, that's like the heart of what it actually means to develop and grow in a business. So you can kind of sack off everything else. And then the last one is Harriet HR. It's just a really easy way of taking all the information that you have in a business and being able to get answers quickly as an employee. So it just links into your Slack and you're like, cool, what is our maternity leave policy? How does this work? How many days leave do I have left this year? It just connects everything together. That is what most people want. Most HR questions at the bottom on the service desk level are just those over and over and over again. And actually, if you can remove all of that stuff, it makes everyone else's life up the chain far more interesting.
But then that also relies on having a repository for
good quality information. Yes.
And then can we go back to Rippling? The tools you've talked about are interesting, but none of them are the HRIS. And I know you're a fan of humans.
There aren't many new ones coming through, right? Fundamentally.
I'm really curious about Rippling because it was in America and they had the tightest go-to-market I've ever experienced where they just qualified me out because did not have enough employees in the US to talk to us and the fact that we were a UK company. They hadn't sorted out GDPR. They were just like, no. Amazing discipline for the SDRs to really know that. I've never seen another business be that tight. So well done, Rippling, for executing perfectly on your go-to-market. So they subsequently have moved into Europe, or at least to the UK. I haven't seen a demo because I left working at that point, but I just thought they were the best idea I had ever seen. What is your feeling? Because you did not recommend them as the holy grail of a CRM system.
So I think if you are very international focused, if you're a US focused company with some European employees, and even if you're expanding your model and where your folks are based, it's great. It lacks some customization around US benefits, but as a global HRIS and EOR platform, brilliant. It will do your job. It certainly would be on most people's lists to go and look at. However, I have heard, and these are anecdotal, there's just a surprising amount of numbers of folks who are using it now over here who are a little bit frustrated with it, including a couple who were like, we tried it, we implemented it, and then we left pretty swiftly afterwards. The typical US moving to European SaaS problem, which is, oh, Europe's just Europe. No, Europe is so many different countries. And when you break it down in HR, it just gets 10,000 times worse. So that is generally what I've heard. And it's a problem HiBob had a while back, and Charlie HR have had too, which is, fundamentally, you've got so many different countries, all with so many different policies and approaches and legal requirements for their employees, that it's really, really hard to get all of that right within a platform. Most of the EORs have obviously big CS teams who are dealing with a lot of the heavy lifting there, and their legal teams and CS teams are the ones sorting that out. It's not part of the platform to solve that all of the time perfectly. Whereas when you're an HRIS, you can't really do that. You kind of have to have the platform solving all of these things. Otherwise, like, what's the point?
What about the new kids on the block? So we've got Personio and Factorial. Both seem really interesting, both doing some kind of neat things in the product. What's your take on those two vendors?
Personio absolutely is doing some interesting things. The better reviews I've heard are from the mid to enterprise client, like small enterprise, should we say. They don't want to go and spend the $1 million minimum contract fee on Workday, but they do want something which can deal with the size of the organization. They're dealing a lot with maybe like internal workflow management and trying to think about things like utilization. Maybe it's like a large consultancy or something like that. Personio can do a great job there, but at the like lower end of the market where they're pushing, it's almost like, for me with Greenhouse, like so much customization within the platform that it doesn't make it plug and play and I can just run and go with it.
We're definitely talking about a Goldilocks situation here. Like, you've been the bamboo of it's too rigid to the Greenhouse, it's too fluid. And it's like, who has it just right?
That's why my first question to you, what did you want at the time? And I think some folks want huge levels of customization. Like, it's important to them for whatever reason. Some folks just want to be told that these are the three performance questions that you should ask, and I'm just going to do that from Bamboo. Most folks are probably sat in the middle where they're like, I want enough customization within my field, but not so much. Type in on LinkedIn, like, Workday implementation consultant. How many Workday implementation consultants are there on LinkedIn? Lots. Way too many. Anyone who kind of needs some external help to get it up and running is a bit of a red flag.
So one more last stab here at a different category, compensation modules or compensation vendors that are out there as well, point solutions. What's your take on that? Because a lot of these HRISs are trying to pull in comp as part of their suites. Some are good, some are not so good. And there's a bunch of point vendors. What do we do there? Mid-market, 200 people, what do we do?
The problems that we see are 3-4 years ago, you had Radford and you had Option Impact. You would buy one of those data sets if you wanted to pay for Radford and you had, I don't know, a bunch of different locations and you needed some information, great. If you were cheaper and just wanted to use Option Impact and upload your data for free, also great. Now, however, you've got so many different options, Pequity, Camza, Pave, Ravio, Figures, yada, 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 right? And everyone's uploading their data into different things, which means that getting accurate data is really hard, which means that people are buying. The amount of times I've seen people be like, yeah, we have Ravio and Figures in Europe. I'm like, how have we got to a situation where you need to buy two SaaS solutions to get to a point of actually getting some insight into compensation? So fundamentally, the ideal outcome is that there is one winner who goes and buys all of the others, and then you get all the information in one place, and then you get the most detailed, insightful outcome possible. Or maybe a couple of winners, maybe 2 or 3 max, where you can be like, okay, cool, I'm not getting gouged on pricing at the same time.
The Dun & Bradstreet Experian and Expedia situation for compensation. So if we talk about consolidation at a higher level, what I don't understand is why can't it all be consolidated? I just want to buy one tool that does everything well. Anybody doing that well? Like, who do you think has a good product vision or is looking at a consolidation more broadly? Like, who would you back to be the HubSpot or now, no, not HubSpot, the Monday of of HR tech?
I'm sure someone can do it. I'm sure someone out there between HiBob and Personio, probably I'm going to put my bets on those two, are going to do the best job of it.
Different question. When you're buying a HRS IS solution, what are the gotchas that people typically forget about or don't check in on and they end up regretting it quite deeply afterwards? What are those like top 2 or 3 gotchas that make sure you do your DD on?
Gotcha number one is just security, like doing a deep dive, like speak to your data protection officer, speak to your CIO, think about what are the security features that we have to have. But fundamentally, that's where I see people be like, oh, actually, this now doesn't work in this country and I can't use it here. And now I have 2 different things. It happens. The SaaS classic. Is the thing an actual feature that I can use, or is it a half-baked feature that I'm getting a beta of, or is it something you're telling me that's definitely happening and definitely on the roadmap for the next quarter, and then it's 3 quarters down the line and I don't have it?
And so you do end up having to really slow down, think it through, and ask, do you integrate with this field? Oh, a custom field, would that be possible? Or this is our workflow, and this is what we envision. Can you do that? And then they're going to tell you yes, and it's just either it's a lie or nobody's thought about it, and I would like to get those warranted when you buy. And you're like, you say, I can do this vision. Will you warranty that I can do this vision? And if I can't, I'm going to break the contract, and that's fine.
I would like to play a quick word association game here if we actually could. So I'm going to throw out a company name. Give me your one word response to whatever comes to mind. The first one is Rippling.
Pretty good. If I'm in the US, happy days. I'm a happy person.
Okay, love that. How about HiBob?
Solid option.
Bamboo.
Makes me sad.
Makes me sad too.
It does. It makes me so sad. If I wanted my applications to look like MS Paint from Windows 95, then I would go and like use MS Paint from Windows 95, right? Like, come on. I'm sorry, user interface designer there, but you're terrible at your job.
Personio.
Functional, Germanic. Might take over the world.
Oh, nice. I like that. And last one, Factorial.
Factorial, interesting option, but seems to be trying to do too many things all at once.
Thank you for playing that game. I know it's a very stressful game to play.
No worries. It's a little bit stressful, yeah.
If our listeners could take one thing away from our conversation today, what would that be?
It is, what are you trying to achieve as a business? Therefore, what are you trying to build as a people team? Therefore, what technology do you need to support that strategy? And then ensuring that you get the right technology that suits that strategy and suits the workflow and the processes that are going into that strategy and that plan. And don't throw yourself at shiny things because they look shiny. Sometimes buying the simple thing that does the one thing well, a la, you know, your humans, etc., is a great way of doing it. Just because everything's got like 50,000 extra features doesn't mean that any of them will work. So do your due diligence on that. And yeah, get some warranties.
100% it won't all work. Matt, just before we go, you are a font of knowledge. If anybody wants to tap into the font of knowledge that you are, how can they? Or can they at all? Or are you just going to tell everybody to go away?
They can. No, no, not at all. Feel free to drop me a message. Anyone can get in touch with me via our website at peoplecollective.io, or you can find me on LinkedIn, Matt Bradburn, and that's where I tend to hang out the most.
Lovely. So thank you, Matt, for joining us on the Operations Room. If you like what you hear, please subscribe or leave us a comment, and we will see you next week.